Have you ever wondered what it's like to be buried in an avalanche?
Weird foreign feeling of despair.
Or how it feels to crash a skydive?
I remember hearing a thud, feeling my body hit the ground.
Or how you would react if you were being attacked by an alligator?
At the end of my leg is this huge alligator head on my leg.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a victim of an attack.
Dragging me into the bathroom and saying, I'm going to kill you, now you're going to die.
You'll hear from a man who discovered a baby.
How could this be? How could there be a baby on the ground?
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Clinky County 911.
There's a man at my back door. He's trying to get in.
What Was That Like is a podcast about real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app or at whatwasthatlike.com.
Oh, that would be the end for my life, basically.
Yeah.
Because although I would never offend a child, if everyone knows about it, a lot of people would not talk to me anymore. Maybe also some close friends. And I mean, I can understand it because you don't have a good feeling about it. If you know, well, even the head boy was a pedophile.
If ever there was a need for a disclaimer, this would be it. Today's interview on the Andrew Gold podcast delves into dark terrain in the form of a teenage pedophile, one who is also the head boy at his school. The past year, I've been in Germany researching the topic for a book after finding out about a state-sponsored therapy program called Don't Offend that doesn't report its patients to authorities, even if they have been offending. This is part of a liberal history and attitude towards minor attraction in Germany, where it's thought Madeleine McCann's abductor is from. In the past year, I've met many pedophiles, almost all of whom say they are of the non-offending variety. These include a 25-year-old woman attracted to babies, and a man who deserted his family without warning or explanation because he was afraid of his own desires for his 9-year-old daughter. Many of them, I found, are mired in depression, in the knowledge they can never have a fulfilling relationship with a consenting adult. The young man I spoke to for today's episode, Silas, is unlike any other I've met. He's young, chipper, and happy-go-lucky. He's adamant he'd never offend, but still makes use of his role as trusted head boy to get close to younger children at his school. Some of the things he says are shocking, and it's possible that a year of investigating this subject has made me a little desensitized to it. But I believe it's important to hear from him if we want to better understand a paedophilic mind and prevent further abuse of children. The world's leading expert, Dr. Michael Seto, believes 1% of the male population are exclusively paedophiles. Many doctors also believe that stigmatization of non-offenders is one of the greatest risk factors that can lead to them crossing the line. So it's time we talk about them. I feel it's important to mention that another thing I've learned in my time investigating paedophilia is that the effects of abuse on children is devastating and irreversible. I try to be open and understanding with Silas, purely because he tells me he has never and would never touch a child. And since he's so honest about everything else, I have no reason not to believe him. I hope you enjoy this podcast, even if it makes for an uncomfortable listen.
Welcome to my podcast, Silas. How are you doing?
Well, I'm very fine today. I just finished my last exams and I'm very happy about it. So it's a nice day also here and I'll enjoy this podcast.
Oh, great. How did Corona impact on your exams?
Well, it was quite a different and a huge impact because, I'm still going to school and I finished my grades this year.
And how has it been for you being away from school for the last few months? How have you felt?
Well, it's quite okay because everyone knows it. I mean, I don't want to go to school and it's so boring and so on. But in reality, I really... I wanted to see my friends again. And yeah. Also, I mean, I'm in contact with a lot of really children I do like in at school.
Okay.
So I really also I missed them.
So, okay, am I right that you're the head boy of the school?
I was, yes, the last year.
How did that happen?
I don't know. It was a quick idea of mine. So I just I decided, well, why not? So I presented myself, and apparently the people liked me, so they voted for me, and yes, then I was the head boy of the school. So it happened really quickly, and it was amazing.
When did you start to realize that you were a pedophile?
It was really early, because a lot of people discover it when they are around maybe 20 or even older. So, but in my case, it was very different, because I was at a football team. I was playing in a football team in Spain, and I really... I noticed that I started to like the boys of my team, from my team. And they...
How old were you?
I was about, maybe when it started, maybe 11, 12 years old.
Oh.
And that's why I said that it was at a really young age. So I started to realize, well, they are very attractive to me, and back then, I also had an idea that something is not right at all about me, but I didn't know at all what it was. So I knew, well, I can't say it to them, because it would be kind of really creepy, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, not that creepy at all, because they were my same age, maybe 1 or 2 years younger. So it's not that creepy. But I mean, there's also this stuff where you think, well, I don't want to be gay, or I don't want them to know it about me.
Yeah, because what made you think at 11 years old that you, because you've liked other boys who were 11, that made you a pedophile? Because my presumption, if that happened to me, would be that I was gay. I wouldn't even think about being a pedophile or something.
Yeah, I mean, the first thought I had was also that maybe I'm gay. And this was the beginning of the pedophilia, but I didn't realize it until a little bit more later, when I was maybe 14 or something like that, because then, well, I was older. But I still liked the boys around the age of 10, maybe also 8, 11. And it did not, the age of the boys I liked did not grow with my same age.
Was that concerning for you?
Not really at all, because it was just the way it was. And I kind of just accepted it. At first, I wasn't proud of it. I just imagined, well, it's gonna be difficult maybe. So I don't know. So because I didn't know how it would develop also, because maybe it's just a phase in my life. But yes, as soon as I got older, I really knew, well, it will always be there, and I need to find a way of living with it. So I just can't just forget it, because it's there.
It's interesting, because so I've been speaking to a lot of pedophiles over the last year, hoping to write a book about the subject. And I found that, yeah, I think you're quite unique. But, well, not necessarily unique, because like you, I think a lot of other pedophiles are trying to find a way to live with what they have, and many are also proud because it's who they are, and they, yes, you know, and they are frustrated that they're not able to be proud of who they are, which is something that I had never thought about, which was very interesting for me. But I think what seems to be unique about you is that you don't seem to have been so concerned, whereas I think a lot of people I've spoken to have been very depressed, at least for a stage, when they realized they were pedophiles, especially the understanding that they could never have a meaningful consenting adult relationship. But that doesn't seem to be too worrying for you. Is that right?
Yes, that's truly right. I mean, I also had some issues in my life when I was maybe around 17, or not 17, but 16, 15, where I also thought, well, I mean, it's everything so overwhelming, and everyone around me is getting a girlfriend, and everyone is having their first experience with sex, for example. And I couldn't. And there was also such a point because there were some girls that were in love with me and they really liked me. They also tried to start a relationship with me. And I mean, I couldn't because I just did not feel that it's the right thing, because I mean, I'm not attracted to them. And so why should I start a relationship with them? And it was quite difficult also to explain.
Yeah.
And that was a point of my life where I really also was kind of a little bit depressed, but not that much. So it was just also a very short moment.
Do you remember the first time that you told somebody else?
It was a friend of mine, and he's still a very good friend to me. And I mean, we're like besties. We're really good friends. And I knew him because of us, because of the same sport we did. We really had lived a lot of really good and also bad moments. So we really went through a lot of issues. And that was kind of also the main reason why I decided to tell him that I'm a pedophile. And it was via WhatsApp, because he had a new girlfriend, I guess, or there was something going on. He talked about it, and I just kind of had the desire to say to him and to tell him that, well, I'm a pedophile, because he was always talking about his relationships and I could never talk about mine.
That's quite an extraordinary step, because you had never told anyone before, and the first time you decided to do it, you did it in writing.
Yes.
There's evidence and proof, and if he had reacted badly, you had to trust him a lot, you know, not to send that around to everybody.
Yes, really a lot. But I mean, I really knew him, and I also knew he was... He's very liberal, so he's not just the type of guy that is constantly hating against other groups of people.
Yeah.
And so I really had also the gut feeling it's gonna be a good idea. And I mean, I didn't had the guts to tell him in person, because it's kind of embarrassing also a little bit.
Yeah. And he said he's going to support you, I imagine.
Yes. I mean, at first he didn't believe it. I said, well, there's something I need to tell you. I'm not straight. My sexual preference is something else, but it's also not the usual, so it's not gay. And so he had to guess it. And at first he really guessed other things, like well, also a feeling maybe being attracted to older people.
Oh.
And then also to animals.
Yeah.
And
oh my god.
Then I told him, no, it's kind of these people I'm attracted to are small, and they're also very young. And then he said, kind of, what the fuck, a pedophile? And yeah, it was I mean, he did not believe it at first, and then I really told him, yes, it's the way it is. And
I think it's a discussion a lot of people have with their friends and everything. You know, how would I react if my friend told me he were a pedophile? Did he ask you if you had offended or anything like that?
No, he did not ask this, because he did not think I'm capable to this.
Okay. Is it offensive to ask somebody like you if you have offended?
No, because there's always different people, and there are good pedophiles and also bad pedophiles. So there can be always be the possibility that a pedophile has offended a child.
And are you a good pedophile or a bad pedophile?
Yes, I'm a good pedophile, so I never offended a child, and I also would never, because it's just it's very harmful for the children.
Yeah. Is it Is it something that you've had to try very hard to resist?
Yes, there were. I mean, there were also some phases in my life, so some stages where I really had more problems with not offending children. And now it's really okay. So I have a lot of contact to children. So maybe you think, or the normal the straight person thinks, well, if he's got more contact to children, maybe there's also a higher risk that he could offend a child. But in the case of good pedophiles, it isn't, because when you're really talking to children and you're playing with them, you really do have a lot of contact. You get a good feeling about the this sexual preference, because you know, well, I'm doing something good for the children, and it's also good for me because I am enjoying this also.
Yeah.
And that's also a huge factor why I'm constantly trying to get in touch and with new kids, or just to make some contact with them.
Yeah.
And because it also helps me to realize the meaning in life.
Mm-hmm.
So then I maybe I'm playing with them, and then at home maybe I can think about them again, in maybe in a sexual way, because if I'm in love with some children, for example,
yeah,
I really enjoy being with them, but I can separate the sexual component with the childish component. So you know,
yeah,
that yes, so
it's very strange. It's another thing I've learned from speaking to pedophiles, is that there's it's not always just a sexual thing. A lot of pedophiles just love being around children, and there's a platonic love as well. So I guess that's what's going to be hard for a lot of listeners to understand, maybe, and for me to understand as well, when you talk about really, really enjoying being around children. I think that might make a lot of people uncomfortable, particularly when it's their own children, because they're imagining that you're getting, even if you're not touching them or anything, they're imagining that you're getting some sort of sexual thrill out of speaking to the child, which may not harm the child directly, but I suppose people don't like the idea of their children being looked after or hanging around with somebody who's getting a sexual thrill out of it.
Yes. I mean, I can completely understand it also. I mean, if I'm a parent, if I would be a parent one day, I mean, I would also have a strange feeling about this. So if I would know, well, the person speaking right now, playing with my child, is a pedophile, I mean, I really would need to trust this person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know how this person also feels, but I really need to know, well, he's a good pedophile, he's not a bad pedophile.
And I suppose there must be some people who are on the line, and I think that's the concern, that there are people who are good pedophiles who maybe give in to their desires, or do you think that's just not possible?
I mean, it can happen. It's more because of they're sometimes mentally not that strong. They follow their sexual...
Yeah, desires.
Yes, desires, yes. It's not the usual thing, so it does not happen that
much. Have you told anybody in your family, or who have you told? Who knows about this?
Just some friends of mine, some really close friends.
And your family, does anybody know?
No, because I don't want to risk anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they would react. I mean, if I would tell it to someone, it would be my mom, because I really have a good relation with her, and I also really trust her. We do laugh a lot. I just did not tell it to her, because I'm still living with her, and I want to move out, and I want to be, I don't want to be dependent on someone.
Yeah.
So just imagine if I tell her and she does not like it, or she does not really react how I thought. I mean, it would be really catastrophic.
Do you think she suspects anything? Does she ever ask why you haven't had girlfriends or boyfriends or anything?
Nah, I don't think she does suspect, because I told her that I'm gonna have children later on in my life, and that the perfect moment will come. And then that I also, I'd like to have three children. She never asked me about this. So it's just the way it is, and she accepts it. I mean, the current situation.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I tell her that I'm gonna do something, or I'm gonna play with a child or talk to a boy, for example, she just says, well, that's really fine. And I really like how you're interacting with children.
Right. So how do you think people, parents, for example, or the teachers at the school would react if they knew their head boy were a pedophile?
Oh, they that would be the end for my life, basically.
Yeah.
Because, although I would never offend a child, if everyone knows about it, a lot of people would not talk to me anymore.
Mm.
Maybe also some close friends. And I mean, I can understand it, because you don't have a good feeling about it if you know, well, even the head boy was a pedophile.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm even worried about publishing this podcast because some people won't want to talk to me afterwards just because of association.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's how strong I think the taboo is.
It's really strong. And it's also difficult to break the stigma, because the media also is constantly just publishing the some news mm-hmm. about pedophiles, but bad news. So if always someone is if a pedophile just offended and molested a child, the media is always there, and the media makes it also worse. So not every pedophile is automatically a child molester.
It must feel a little bit like, so I'm Jewish, for example, and there have been quite a few, every time I hear something like Woody Allen did something bad, or Harvey Weinstein, or a name like that, it makes me think, oh God, everybody's going to think that Jewish people are, you know, rich Hollywood people who treat women or badly or whatever it might be. Maybe it's how a Muslim person feels if they hear about a terrorist attack and they feel like, hey, that's not me, that doesn't speak for me. Do you think that's the same way that you feel every time you see another newspaper report of a pedophile who has attacked someone, and you think, oh God, it's gonna just be worse for us now?
I do not really think, well, it's gonna be worse for us, but I mean, I just I sometimes also read those articles, and I just keep thinking, I mean, hell no, what the fuck are you doing? I mean why?
Yeah.
It's to the guy who molested the children.
Right. So I recently posted in a forum for pedophiles called Gemeinstadt Allein, together rather instead of alone, when the news about Madeleine McCann, you know who she is?
Nope.
She was a girl in England who was abducted, taken away by somebody 10 or 15 years ago. And recently in the news, they found that it was an English girl, and a German man had taken her. And that was a big news story just a couple of weeks ago. I posted in this forum asking if anybody knew any information about this German man. And everybody in the forum was very, very offended by me asking that question and by asking if anybody knows this German pedophile. Do you know why they were offended?
I don't have an idea. it's difficult, because I mean, I wouldn't be offended, and that's...
Yeah, what they told me was, because I was just interested in it, whether you would be offended. And I notice as well that you talk about good pedophiles and bad pedophiles. Now, in this forum, it's also a forum for non-offenders. They don't talk about good and bad pedophiles. They talk about pedophiles and then pedocriminals. So because I said, does anybody know this German pedophile? You know, they wouldn't call him a pedophile.
Ah, yes, yes. So you threw everyone in and kind of the same part.
Yeah, I didn't mean to, but they would not use the word pedophile to describe that man. They would say a pedophile is somebody who is attracted to children and would never do anything to harm them. And then somebody who harms them is not a pedophile, but a pedocriminal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yes, I know about this issue. So it also happens in some other chats. Among the good pedophiles, there's the pedophiles who are really very strict with this issue. So they don't want to be called good pedophiles. They want to be just called pedophiles. It's not that important. But I mean, just if you know, well, he's a good pedophile and he does not offend anyone, it's okay.
Yeah. And what about then, this is something I have to ask you, because you've not offended with children, but what about, and I think everyone will be wondering this listening, what about child sexual abuse material?
No, neither. I mean, it's also because you're indirectly helping other pedophiles to get money, so they have a reason to keep offending children. That's also why I'm strict against child abuse material.
But you must be tempted sometimes, let's say if you've had a few beers and it's late at night, you know?
Yes, of course. I mean, it's always difficult because there's the normal porn you can watch everywhere. But I mean, then there's the child porn and you can't watch it anywhere. And that's it's kind of also a thrill.
But you've never tried?
No, I've never tried. I mean, I was quite a few moments. I was downloading also the Tor browser.
That's the secret browser.
Yes.
Tor, yes. Yeah.
But in the end, I didn't, because if someone would know or would discover that I really watch child porn, I mean, I'm still young and I would live my entire life with this issue, and so my entire personal relationship would also maybe get destroyed.
It could be a big story as well, because this I think one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because you are so different to the typical pedophile that somebody can interview or find in a community, because often they tend to be a lot older, the ones, especially the ones who are willing to do an interview, because they feel a little bit like they've already lived their lives, whereas an 18-year-old or 19-year-old feels like they have a lot more to risk. So that's quite extraordinary. And I imagine, yeah, if you were caught looking at child pornography or something, being so young and being the head boy of your school and everything, I think that would be a really big story.
Yes, of course. Yes, yes.
So are you able to enjoy adult pornography?
That's a good question indeed. there were also some stages in my life. I mean, when I was younger, I enjoyed watching gay porn.
Okay.
Also, twink porn. So, you know what a twink is?
No.
Maybe a twink is kind of, he's already over 18, but he still looks a little bit younger. So maybe 15, 16,
okay,
kind of this.
Okay.
And twinks also really tend to shave their body hair.
Right.
And that made it also a little bit of, it made it interesting to see, to watch. And then later on, I also enjoyed watching a normal porn, but just because of the guy penetrating the woman, because of the penis penetrating all the time.
Yeah.
And now there's an interesting turn in my life, because I am starting to enjoy also the body of women, you know.
Oh.
So Just the vagina, or
yeah.
How would this call
vagina?
It? Vagina, yes.
Yeah.
Vagina. and so I really like to watch close-ups, so where you really see everything very close. And also some close-up cum shots and cream pies, for example.
Right.
And it's interesting because I really didn't think that it would happen. But I just have to tell you that the sexual fantasies and imagination of sex with children is much more interesting than seeing and watching these close-ups.
I think from what I've researched, I mean, the difference between being an exclusive pedophile and a non-exclusive pedophile is very, very important to the happiness and general condition of somebody's life. I mean, if you're an exclusive pedophile, it means you can only get arousal from children. And if you're a non-exclusive, yes, then I guess you can have that, and maybe it's even stronger, but you're able to have some attraction for an adult and able to live a normal life with that adult. There's a school of thought, according to the, not in Germany, but in Britain, they believe that pedophilia, there's an organization called Stop It Now, who believes that pedophilia is not a sexuality. They think that it is something that can be cured.
An illness, yes.
Is that offensive to you?
It's indifferent to me. I mean, it's, everyone can think what he or she wanna think. I mean, it's not. I know what I am, and it's not. Mm. It's not really offensive.
They say, I spoke to their director, that it can be helped or cured or whatever, and that one of the ways is teaching people to enjoy climaxing to, you know, adult pornography or something, which sounds like you're already doing that a little bit. I mean, so is there any hope for you that you would be, or is there any desire for you to be able to enjoy attraction to adults?
That's also a good question. I mean, I already told that I want to have three children later in my life, because children are also the meaning of my life. And as I said, I really enjoy being with them, and I also want to see my own children growing up. The first step is finding a woman, you know, and being able to have sex with her. And I mean, that's currently the most difficult step in my life, and also to do, because I mean, I'm mainly attracted to children, and just a little bit, just a little bit to women. So back to your question, I would like to experience being able to having sex with a woman, and also being able to feel the attraction to another woman. But however, I don't wanna be cured, just to say it in a way, because we just talked about curing this
condition.
Yes, this condition in quotation marks. I'd like to experience both. So I just don't wanna give up this sexual preference of children, you know?
Yeah,
being attracted to children, because it's already been a huge part of my life, and it made me also to the guy, the person I am right now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of like becoming the person you are, I'm wondering, did a lot of the pedophiles I met had very, very difficult childhoods? And there's a theory, a school of thought that can affect pedophilia. That it can make your attraction levels. I've heard that, you know, when you're 10 years old, you are attracted to 10-year-olds. When you're 11, you like 11-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that progression can be halted, often when something traumatic happens in your childhood. Was there anything like that might have been a cause?
No. I can't prove this theory with my own experience, because I really had a very happy childhood, and my parents made everything in order to make my childhood happy, and they really succeeded. There were no experiences I can remember where there happened something bad or something that can is maybe able to affect this progression.
Wow. It just is what it is.
Yes, it just came to my life. Just as a gift from Santa Claus.
Wow. Have you been going to therapy at all?
No, I don't need it. I mean, when I was 15, 16 years old, I really had a lot of contact to other pedophiles through a German chat. And they really helped me because I knew, well, there are also other people like me outside, out there. And they're also feeling the same things I feel. I made also some friendships there, and it was kind of the therapy I needed back then.
It's just, yeah, it's remarkable how happy and in control you are, more than anybody I've spoken to, I think.
Yes, it's, I mean, sometimes I really think about this, and I really also think, well, why am I the guy who got this preference, because statistically there are just maybe 2 or up to 3% of pedophiles around the world, and
still a lot of people.
Yes, if you keep thinking about it, so if you 2 out of 100 people are pedophiles, and you don't know because you
or can't. Men at least.
Yes, man. So I don't know. I mean, it's also a very interesting thought, because I mean, a lot of people think that pedophiles are just men, but what if also there's the same percentage of women pedophiles? I mean, because you do not associate women with being a pedophile.
And I met one. What? I met one. Yeah, while researching this, I went to meet her.
That's cool.
Yeah, but yeah, apparently, from what I can understand, it's now thought that about 1% of men are pedophiles, exclusive pedophiles, but up to 21% have some attraction to children.
Mm-hmm. Just at least a little bit.
Yeah, apparently, about 21 out of 100 men, if being completely honest, would say that. Although it doesn't necessarily affect their lives in any way, whereas 1% are completely exclusive, like yourself. Yes. With women, it's thought to be quite a bit lower, but it's still there. It still exists.
Yes, but I mean, so just think about it. So a lot of women do work at elementary schools, for example, or as child take carers, or how do you call it?
Child carers.
So maybe they're also attracted to children, but maybe they think it's kind of the maternal attraction you feel.
There was a statistic I saw as well that showed that male pedophiles have a stronger sense of empathy towards children than non-pedophiles. So there might also be some sort of confusion or combination of a paternal feeling with the sexual feelings.
Yes, that might be possible, but I think it's more the case at women, maybe, if it might be true.
And so do you have friendly relationships with a lot of children at school?
Yes. And I really love it, and I'm also proud of it, because I mean, it's not very easy to build a friendship with a child, I know, if you're already older. So first the child will also think, so hell, what the fuck, why is he talking to me, you know?
Yeah.
And then on the other side, also your friends, so your the friends your age, they also maybe think, why the fuck is he talking to children, you know? And
I'm trying to imagine you at school, your friends and other people watching you, and you're always talking to the children.
Yes. I mean, it's kind of like that. I mean, they see it, but they do not think about maybe me being a pedo.
Would it not be easier to stay away and then there's no temptation at least?
Stay away from the children, you mean? Or
yeah.
Nah, it's difficult. It's more difficult. I mean, temptation for what?
To, I don't know, to sexualize them.
I mean, I also do sexualize them, but not in the in this hardcore way. I mean, I see a child, and if I mean a boy, because I'm a homo pedophile. So if I really like him, so I try to talk to him, and so then there are two components. There's the friendship, which I really enjoy, and I enjoy being around children just because of the way they how they are, you know.
Yeah,
their character traits and everything. And then there's also the sexual component, because I mean he's very attractive to me, and that's also why it wouldn't be easier to stay away from them, because then I also would be more likely to do something bad, because I do not have this
concept. But that sounds a bit like a cognitive bias of yours, because you're saying if I'm away from them, I might be more likely to hurt them or something. And if I'm closer to them, then I'm less likely to hurt them. And do you see what I mean? It feels like maybe you've told yourself that. Is that fair to suggest?
Well, I don't think so, because as I already told, if I'm in contact with children, I enjoy this moment. And if I'm away from them, I mean, I also get a little bit depressed, you know, so. Mm. And that's why maybe then I would be more likely to harm a child. So,
but if you're not near the child, then you can't harm.
Yeah,
the child.
Yes, that's also right. I mean, it's very difficult to explain. It's just a hypothetical case.
Yeah, I suppose the other moral issue is something you pointed out yourself, which is that if you had children, you wouldn't be comfortable with them hanging around with a pedophile that they, you know, unless they really, really trusted that person. But you are hanging out with other people's children, so I guess that's the moral. Is that a moral issue? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, it's kind of a bipolar, or how do I call it?
A paradox.
Yes, a paradox. Yes, yes.
Hmm. Yeah, it's very complicated.
Yes.
And I suppose most of the listeners will be thinking, I guess, well, 1% of the listeners will be thinking that they have the same thoughts as you. Many others will be understanding what you're saying. And then some will be thinking, yes, but he shouldn't be trying so hard to be around children all the time. That's what the problem is.
Yeah, I mean, maybe to those listeners, the children also, they really enjoy also talking to me and being or hanging around with me. And I'm also kind of a role model for them, because I'm also good at school, and I mean I'm a very friendly person. I'm also always friendly to them, and I really see children as fully human. So fully human being. And you need to treat them like any other people. So
yeah, but that can be dangerous as well, treating children as though they were adults, because and you've said yourself that it's any sexual contact could harm them life.
Yes, but I do separate this. So the sexual way is another completely thing. And regarding the sexual component, I do not treat them obviously as an adult, because it's not the way it is. I mean, they're still children, but I mean, when I'm talking to them and when I'm just interacting with them, so I'm not mean to them, for example. So other people are mean to children, for example, especially people my age, you know. And that's how also the children profit from this relationship?
I suppose when you leave school, you will want to find a way to be near children. Do you have plans for that kind of, what kind of work plans do you have?
Well, I still don't know what I'm going to do. The contact to children will always be there. Some ideas could be, for example, being a voluntary at some schools, or just helping out with homeworks, or helping out at a local football team, things like that.
A lot of the pedophiles I've met have been so obsessed with pedophilia that they have few other interests in their lives. Not all of them, but some people have. Is that the case with you, or do you have a lot of active hobbies and other ambitions?
I mean, pedophilia plays a huge role in my life, and it influenced the way I am. But I really do have a lot more other hobbies, really. And I also have really some other ambitions. So I want to earn a lot of money. And I also want to develop myself and become every day a really better person. And I also want to do something for the environment. So because I really like nature also. And I constantly am trying to educate myself a little bit more just to outgrow my comfort zone.
I have to confess that I like Silas and can see why he was voted head boy by his peers. I'll never be able to get used to the way he talks about children, but appreciate he was honest with me about his innermost thoughts. Cognitive bias is a key theme talked about by doctors dealing with pedophiles. It's been found that these people have significantly higher levels of empathy towards children than non-pedophiles do. It means most of them, psychopaths apart, would never want to hurt a child. But the mind is able to concoct stories, leading many pedophiles to convince themselves that abuse won't hurt children or that the child wants the attention. Silas is fortunately aware of the harm any abuse causes, but perhaps he uses cognitive bias to convince himself that it's better for everyone that he keep children around him. If you enjoyed this podcast, all I want is for you to like and review it. Apparently that helps, although I'm not sure exactly why or how. Oh, and share it around. Hopefully the subject matter of this episode won't lose you too many friends. Join me next week for a podcast with Robbie Lyle, the charismatic presenter of Arsenal Fan TV. I'm not an Arsenal fan, but I find Robbie and his life story fascinating. Among other things, we'll talk about abuse he's received on his way to astronomical success.